Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. Among Christians, here's a popular song of hope about Jesus. Because He lives. Sing along. Today's message is entitled, An Attitude of Gratitude. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. The gospel lesson is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called him out and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went out, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and then thanked him. And he went on, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not 10 made clean? But what about the other 9? Where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praises to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen. You know, only Luke tells this story. I think he tells it because it is his story. You see, you and I need to listen carefully to what he's trying to teach us. You see, it is the deep yearning of this gospel writer that you and I know Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Only Luke calls him Savior, and then only twice. Luke was not an original apostle. You see, Luke was a disciple. He became a close friend of the Apostle Paul, and most scholars are in agreement that Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostle. He followed Paul everywhere and wrote what he saw and what he did. Luke was a physician. The same gifts that made him a careful physician also made him a careful writer. But because of this, we need to look behind the words, look in and through the words, not for some secret meaning, but for the rich and deep insight he had into faith. He places those great truths in the stories of Jesus that were told to him. This lesson, of course, is about 10 lepers who were healed. First, we need to think about why a story about lepers. Today, we don't see many lepers. Most of us will never see a person who has leprosy. So how can we get to the real meaning of this lesson? Well, it'll help us if we paint a picture of what was going on in Luke's congregation. Let's look at what the people to whom Luke is writing really know about lepers. Centuries before Luke's gospel, there were laws governing the way to deal with persons with leprosy. In the law of Moses, some 500 to 600 years before, it said that if a person had leprosy, That is, a Jew who had leprosy and felt that he was cured or clean, that person must go before a priest to confirm his or her cleansing. Then the priest would issue a certificate of cleansing for all to see. One law said that if the wind was blowing from behind a leper, he or she had to stand at least 50 yards from anyone who was not a leper. Their homes were usually located on the outskirts of town so that they could beg and be served by people in the local community. At least they were dependent upon them. Now remember, too, that lepers were feared because no one wanted to touch or be touched by a leper. Whether or not you actually got leprosy from touching a leper, it didn't matter because you would still be kept out of the temple worship because you were considered unclean. Children were taught from an early age to stay away from lepers. They were often laughed at, you see, these lepers, because they were disfigured. Pieces of their bodies would drop off. What I'm trying to say to you is that it is difficult for most of us to begin to understand what it felt like to be a leper, or to even see one. It was not just like having an ordinary disease. It was like being thrown out of society. I can just begin to feel the pain of a mother whose child had leprosy. Can you imagine the agony of having to send your child to the edge of the city and never be able to hold or touch him or her again? It could be anyone, a child, a husband, a wife, or a mom, or a dad. There was a pain that was so deep, and the pain of that disease, and then there was the pain of the loneliness and the separation that those persons felt from everything that mattered in your life. Luke said that the lepers cried out to Jesus, and when he saw them in their need, he began to take action to help them. You know, for Jesus even to deal with these lepers put him at great risk. He was not just wandering around by himself. He was being followed by scores, maybe hundreds of persons who were witnesses to what he was doing. And you can just bet people began to talk. As I began to think about the people who were watching Jesus and getting close to those lepers, something inside of me began to stir. I think I discovered what Luke was really trying to tell us in this lesson. Recall for a moment that Luke himself was the son of parents who were slaves, possibly from Syria and then converted to Christianity. He was trained as a physician in some Greco-Roman institution. But the point is that Luke knew what it felt like to be an outcast. He did not belong to the Jewish community. The memories of his days as a boy and as a slave surely haunted him. And Luke had deep compassion for these outcasts. Notice what happens. The lepers cry out to Jesus. He risks to come to help them. Jesus does not heal them on the spot. He goes by the law of Moses. The law of Moses said that lepers must go to the priest before they could be declared healed or cleansed. Presumably, they were all Jewish lepers. But now, all of a sudden, Luke tells us that it was only the Samaritan who returned to say thank you and glorify God. Now, the point you see is not that the others were ungrateful. They had done just as Jesus had instructed them to do. But the man who returned was not only an outcast as a leper, he was also an outcast as a Samaritan living in an all-Jewish community. Remember that the Samaritans all had solid Jewish family histories, but because they married outside of their Jewish faith, they were outcast. But there were deep family roots into the Jewish community from the Samaritans. You know how painful it must have been to know that there could no longer be any family ties. In fact, if cousins ever got together, they could be ousted from the temple if they were caught. Being healed for this unnamed Samaritan not only meant that he would live, but it also meant that he would be able to go back to his family. It meant that he would no longer have to live under the criticism and fear that had dominated his life for so long. This man came back not for some sense of moral or religious obligation. He did not come back to show off in front of those Jews. He didn't come back to ask for something else. He simply came back because he was overcome completely by a sense of gratitude. Gratitude to God. Jesus said that awesome flow of gratitude in him for God's gift was enough to give him salvation. That last phrase says, "Your faith has made you well." It literally means that your faith coming forth in your gratitude has brought you salvation. Is that not remarkable? You know, I've asked myself, when was the last time that I was overcome with a deep sense of gratitude? I remember several years ago, I felt a little of what the Samaritan felt like when a man named Dick Mailman called me from Florida. Dick had been our coordinator for a program called Healing for Damaged Emotions in two prisons in Florida. Dick called to say, and I think I almost can quote him exactly. He said, "John, these men are so grateful for this program. They said it has been so long since they ever felt anyone really cared about them. There are about 25 men in the prison hospital in Florida. These men are prisoners. They are incarcerated for something they have done to break the law. And they know that if and when they ever get out of prison, they will live as outcasts in the eyes of most people. But you see, that's not all. These men also have AIDS. They are outcasts in the prisons, too. As he described these men to me, I thought about their isolation and their deep grief. And to just consider that because someone cared enough to share hope with them through the understanding that they could understand themselves better, that would bring a sense of gratitude, well, it really spoke to me. I remember that even if these men are released from the state prison, they are still likely to die a miserable death. Now, I know this text is about another disease in another culture at another time, but you know these issues are still the same. You and I can be separated by many things, failure, broken dreams, friendships, even marriages. It is not too hard to become bitter and resentful. Luke is helping us to learn that no matter what the circumstances, God will not leave us. He is in us. As the leper in the scripture realized this truth, his life was filled with a fresh sense of joy. I heard a person say once that everyone should develop an attitude of gratitude. I don't recall who it was, but I can tell you that it will change your life. Let's pray a moment. Lord, there's so many things we could say about this text and about our lives. But we pray together that you'll help us to pause for just a moment and to think about how many ways you've tried to describe yourself to us and the incredible blessings that are around us, the offer of hope even in the most difficult circumstances, your hope for our lives, that your promise to redeem us if we give ourselves to you and that we might have a life forever with you. Lord, thank you for loving us even as we do not understand it. In the name of Christ, amen.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
John Wolfe, we remember that old gospel song. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will amaze you what the Lord has done. We would sleep better, John, if instead of counting sheep, we would count our blessings. Dear listener, have you done that? Have you ever sat down and listed your blessings, the things for which you ought to be grateful? And then, have you taken time to kneel before God and thank Him for His mercies? What a picture, what a positive change of attitude you and I have when we do that. Dear listener, God is listening for your prayer of thanksgiving, for the forgiveness of sins, for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you, for the offer of the gift of eternal life through Christ our Lord, and for your thanksgiving for the many blessings of daily life. Bring your grateful heart to Him today. He is waiting. And do write us this week. Our address, Methodist Hour, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.